Hello everyone, Amanda here. This episode is brought to you and sponsored by Yaoi Crate, the premier legal way to indulge in all of your Yaoi and BL needs. Did I mention legal? If you went back in time and told little Fujo Trash Amanda that in the future there would be a legal and affordable way to have all of your Yaoi needs sent to your home, well, she'd yell at you and accuse you of witchcraft because, you know, time travel. But she'd also be super excited. Your Yaoi crate arrives to your house at your very front door in discreet packaging, which is important for us Fujos who are still in the closet. And when I tell you that opening my first crate was a delight, trust me, it was. This box is no joke and for mature Fujos and Fudons only. Sorry kids, adult swim rules apply. I've been blessed to have many, many years in the Yaoi fandom, and having this subscription is literally a game changer. Working with organizations like Rotten Blossoms and Faku and Kuma Pub, Yaoi Crate is on some next level stuff. So if you want a box of some of the finest BL and Yaoi stuff sent to your very home, I suggest that you subscribe to Yaoi Crate. $49.95 is a steal per month, and that price is for our American listeners. They do ship internationally, but those rates are a little bit different. Now, if you'd like to learn more, visit yaoicrate.com. And again, thank you to Yaoi Crate for sponsoring this episode and helping to try to reform me from piracy.
Welcome to the Yaoi Shelf. Grab a seat and relax. Ho. Yo.
Can I help you? Can I do something for you, ma'am? Is there something that I can do for you?
You can introduce yourself.
Because what I'm hearing is no, and then to yell at you later. My name is Amanda, also known as Aichi Yume.
Yeah, and my name is Aisha, also known as Mama Loves Manga.
Oh my gosh. Peek behind the curtain. It's been an hour?
Yeah.
Every time Aisha is so shocked. Every single time.
It goes by so fast.
I'm glad it's going by fast for you. What are we covering today in episode 9?
Yeah, today we are talking about fanworks and doujin, which I am very excited about.
You are?
Yes, because...
That wasn't a question.
Oh yeah, that was affirmation. That was...
That wasn't a question.
I heard question.
Okay, I'm glad you did.
So, I'm really excited about this because I actually do read a lot of doujin surprise. Or I have been in the past, I don't know, getting close to a year, I guess, now that I've been reading doujin. And I'm having so much fun doing it.
Yeah. I think we have slightly different definitions of the word doujin because some publishers, including one they have a very, very close relationship, has kind of changed the definition of the word doujin. Which is fine. It's just, at a certain point, it's sort of like that semi-immersive graphic novel experience we talked about, where it's like semantics, but like words do have meanings.
Right.
So, I do think that the word doujin gets thrown around too much for things that aren't necessarily doujins. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
This is something that actually is really, really interesting because I think, as we've highlighted in multiple episodes, I have been a smut peddler for many years. I got to grow up in that vanguard of fan culture back in the early days where a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today were very important. Some of the things that we're going to talk about today no longer exist, which kind of hurts me a little bit, but... I think the production and creation of fan works, I think, is vital to the Boys Love fandom experience. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most interesting and creative parts of it. So, as per usual, we will be trying to keep this sandboxed to Boys Love. Mm-hmm. Because while this is a universal phenomena in the fan world, mm-hmm. we will, of course, try to keep this sandboxed in because that is the literal name of the podcast.
Right. It is the Yowie Shelf.
It's the literal name of the show. So we will do our best to keep this sandboxed in. Unfortunately, I did a lot of this stuff when I was in high school, when I shouldn't have been doing it. But, you know, that's a story for a different day.
Shouldn't have. It's hard to say that.
No, it's not. It really is. I shouldn't have. I really. No, it's not hard to say. I really shouldn't have. No, I shouldn't have been writing pornography at 14. Like, that's not hard to say. That's not a controversial statement. I mean, I did, but that's not a hot take. No, I don't think 14-year-olds. But did you die? It's like, so no, fine. I don't think 14-year-olds need to be writing porn.
Or just consuming it in general. But I mean, hey, whatever. Like,
the consumption part, I have questions on.
They're gonna.
The internet. They're gonna find it. But also, in the same breath, it is not our responsibility as 18-plus creators to cater to children. Stop fucking yelling at us.
That's very true. We're not your parent. Well, unless you are my son watching this right now, I am not your.
In which case,
if you are my son watching this right now,
you're not supposed to be watching this.
Hide it from me.
Yeah, you're also not supposed to be watching this. We see.
I mean, technically, technically no. But I'm pretty sure he definitely does watch some of my things or listen. And
now I'm afraid to say anything. He's gonna hate me.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
He lives here, so
I still want him to not hate me.
Listen, like, side note, this is completely derailing, but the other day I was sitting here at my desk, mm-hmm. and I had a hentai sitting out on my desk, not mm-hmm. thinking of it, and Phineas my youngest walked mm-hmm. in to ask me something, and then he goes, people will see that book, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then I looked and I saw it sitting there, and I can't grab it, but it was like one with, I think it was called Another's Wife, and there's like a uh-huh. woman with like huge boobs and like.
I saw the thumbnail. I saw Thirsty Thursday. Yeah,
and so it's just been sitting, and he walked, and he's like, "Someone will see that," and I was like, "Oh,
if only you knew."
Wait, and then it's like, moved. He didn't ask any questions. He just laughed, and then like turned around and, or he asked me whatever he needed to ask, and then he left.
Good kid.
I was like, oh great.
There was one time I was with a friend, and we were both in my room, and we had projected. The Gravitation Mega Mixes on my television for my laptop, mm-hmm. and my younger cousin walks in, and it's like, I'm pretty sure it's like a double penetration scene or something, and it's like, what are you watching? It's like, nothing! Throws computer across the room. We're watching nothing! Like, just unplugs HDMI cable, throws laptop.
So now that I've sufficiently derailed our conversation.
I mean, it's been worse. It's definitely been we've had worse derailings. So a brief list of fan works that we're going to be including in this list. I guarantee you when I wrote this part of the outline, I'm sure I've left something out. It is not intentional.
Right.
It is not intentional. I have done my best to get all of the members of the family together. If I have left you out, it was not done in malice. I hear you and I see you.
And they can just, you know, you can just, if you're watching this and you think we missed something, let us know in the comments.
With politely. Love, you know, yeah, politely.
Because Amanda really worked hard on this outline and don't come for her. So, because.
Like, I tried to get everyone as much as I could, but I do these oftentimes late at night after work. So if I've left anyone out of our family, I apologize. It was not done intentionally, like a wedding where you just forget that one cousin. You just, oh, your invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
Oops.
Every wedding has that one cousin.
It's very true.
Or when I used to work in the funeral industry, every funeral has that one cousin. It's like, how come I didn't?
I'm often that one cousin.
It's like, how come I didn't get a chair with the family? It's like, because you're not family. We don't like you. So the fan works that we're including in this list are fan art, fan fiction, podcast. Shockingly, this is technically a fan work. I don't know why I said shockingly, like I don't acknowledge what we do. That was like an apparently. I'm very sorry. I don't want to devalue what we do. Fanzines, which I just got my first fanzine in the mail, and I love it. And it outs me as a My Hero Academia Tsundere. If I could get the series the way I want it, it would be the greatest show God has ever made. But I can't, which is why I read fan fiction.
Fair.
If I could get Cheers with the League of Villains, I will watch every episode religiously. But because I can't get that, I'm going to learn just enough to cosplay, and then I'm going back home. And I'm going to keep reading the smut, because the smut...
Chef's kiss.
Some of it. Some of it's actually really sketchy. Some of it's real suspish. But a lot of the older creators who, like, cut their teeth on, like, Sasu Naru stuff, because all the dynamics are the same in My Hero Academia. That was shady. Amanda was shady, ding. They've had time to hone their skills. So it's very good. Fanzines are great. Fan dubs, which is a thing that kind of exists. Yagami Yato still does a lot of them, and they're wonderful. AMVs, which are a thing that no one does anymore. Okay. No one makes AMVs anymore.
Hold on just a second. I'm sorry. Phineas is knocking on the door.
Thank you for not ignoring your child. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, I just yelled at him to go find his daddy. Even go to the damn bathroom, okay, without this kid coming up talking about I want this or la la la. I'm thirsty, and I'm like, boy, you have a cup and we have refrigerator water. You can just go, you know how to do it, okay? Quit coming here asking me to do stuff that you could do.
It's because he wants to, according to Super Nanny, it's because he wants to form secure attachment with you.
Super Nanny can eat my ass.
Don't say that about Super Nanny.
I hug him regularly, and I make sure that he's taken care of. He can get his own damn water, okay?
He's trying to form secure attachment. You're going to scar it. That's not what Super Nanny would do.
Every day, all day. I'm here for him.
That's not what Super Nanny would do.
Feelings. Super Nanny can... suck my clit. That's what she
did. Oh, no. Oh. And we stopped at AMVs, which are a thing that no one makes anymore. I guess because of, like, licensing, honestly. Like, back in the day, back in the early days of YouTube copyright, it didn't exist. So you could just do anything.
I occasionally still see them, like, pop up on YouTube.
Yeah, but they're not good anymore.
I don't watch them.
Yeah, but so. Like, I still watch, like, the old ones that, like, I watched when I was younger. There is one that I should have added in here that kind of goes under fan cams, which is a Bridge series. We don't get a ton of a Bridge series in Boys Love. You have seen some, like, humor comedy dubs for some Boys Love. Gravitation has a lot of them just because of, like, how exaggerated all the faces were in the Gravitation anime. But, like, your fan cams, your fan dubs, like, your Abridged series, just, like, anything that's manipulating the main work. So that is the general umbrella of fan works that we're talking about. And again, if I left anyone out of the family, it's not because I'm intentionally trying to leave you out. It's because I'm tired.
No one will come for you.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
Look at my face. People who are listening can't see my face.
Yeah, people
but
who are listening.
You can hear my voice.
People who are listening only. Oh my gosh. So, who can make a fan work? The good news
me?
Is. Yeah, literally fucking anyone. Literally anyone. Technically, except for the creator, but that gets lumped into doujins, which we're not at yet. Professional artist, amateur artist, mangaka of different series, mangaka of the same series, literally can do fan works.
One of my favorite things is watching other mangaka draw their friends' characters.
Yes, I like seeing that in like the margins and stuff of certain series. Like it'll be like, oh, so and so sensei drew this in their style.
Yeah,
and it's just like I love seeing.
We got a lot of that for Clamp back in the day because like a lot of the Clamp artists were so famous. And they had all these connections and friends. So it's like, oh, look at, I drew Sailor Moon. It's like, yay.
I think it's cute. I love, like, I do think that's really cute.
I think it's super fun. And a lot of the, a lot of the boys love mangaka in Japan, like, know each other. Like, it's a very, very close sorority. Mm-hmm. The male mangaka artists don't talk to the women. Mostly because I think that they're approaching it from very different perspectives.
Yeah.
Which is as polite as I'll put it. Oh. Because I'm sure that there's more crass ways to word that. But let's just say that they're coming at this from two different sides of the same line. So a lot of the female mangaka will draw each other's characters and stuff. It's actually super, super fun, and I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. What makes a fan work different is that typically it's how the work is distributed. So an official work is going to be probably licensed or shared directly through a creator. A fan work is typically distributed either indie or free entirely.
Okay.
There's a reason why fan fiction is posted on, like, AO3 or Tumblr, rest in peace, mm-hmm. or Wattpad if you hate yourself.
Right.
I apologize to anyone using Wattpad. Or
I never used
Or that. DeviantArt if you're really, really fucking old, or you're a furry.
I was going to say, I know what DeviantArt is because I'm old, but
yeah, if you're a furry or really old DeviantArt.
Yeah, that sounds alright.
Yeah. Or if you're like Aisha where you're an old furry. DeviantArt. I got it this time.
Listen.
This time I called you old.
Listen, don't do me.
How dare you say something that is exactly the truth to me?
I didn't put anything up because I'm not talented, but I definitely did go to DeviantArt to look at.
I definitely used to post. Okay, I'll tell you how old I was. I used to post my fanfic on Quizzilla. Before J.K. Rowling had that site shut down, and Anne Rice did too because there was too much gay of wizards and vampires.
It still just boggles my mind that Anne Rice didn't, like, a girl, of course your vampires were gay, the fuck, like
she wrote them so gay and then got upset when we made them gay.
I mean, to be fair, many of them are bi or pan.
Many of them are fictional.
That as well.
All of them are fictional, actually.
To me, they are real.
Basic. Did you go on the tour in New Orleans? Did you go on the walking tour?
No. Actually, no. We didn't. Whenever I went, I did not do that. But we did go to her house and, like, stand outside of it and take pictures.
Hi! Just...
She wasn't there.
I'm glad, because for some reason I just imagine her being like, how the Grinch stole Christmas. I was like, and Anne Rice stood up there hating the Who's. Just like a little, like, clawed finger, like, pulling down a blind, like, this damn whores are outside.
Out there, like...
Yeah, because everyone's outside, like, yay! Just a clawed, spindly finger. They're outside again. A lot of the fanfic sites tend to come and go. Again, like, I mentioned getting my start on Quizzilla, which is a site that no longer exists. Oh!
Right,
or I think it does exist, but, like, it's definitely not what it used to be.
Yeah, it's, like, defunct, I guess.
Well, it also, like... I don't know how Quizzilla became the place for porn. Because it
did
was...
it? See, I only knew Quizzilla as the
for quizzes.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah, no, it absolutely became
the place. But I was older, too, and I didn't really, like...
So, I was younger. I was in that vanguard that turned it into a porn site. I don't know how it happened. I think it's because we figured out how to trick the algorithm.
Interesting.
Because we could structure our fanfics like quizzes, and then it still got published as no question.
Oh.
Yeah, so as long as you structured it like a quiz, you could publish anything.
Y'all, that is that's
when I tell, oh my god, I got read for this during one of my panels, but I mean it. Like, back in the day, you could not be a casual fan. It did not exist. You were either in or you were out. And I say that with love, because I do think that there's a place for casual fandom, and I respect my friends and fans that are casual, but like, well, I don't think you're that casual. I prefaced it. I don't think you're that casual.
I'm like on the casual spectrum.
That's fair. But like, you could not be a casual back in the day. Mm-hmm. Being a fan was too involved. You were up all hours of the night watching anime. You had to rip and torrent shit. You had to go to like 15 stores to find merch, or like use that one friend who was military in Japan. Like, you did not have the option to be casual.
Yeah, and you're also probably young and have no responsibilities and could actually spend time doing all of that.
Rude. I was
that's
like,
not a drag. But
okay, rude. I was 13 and processing a lot of trauma and grief. So like, for me, it's not that I didn't have things to do. I had school and a family that didn't like me watching weird Asian porn. So I had things to do. Thank you. I wasn't just like a horny, like, forest child living out with like manga. That wasn't what I was doing.
With your manga under.
Right, like I wasn't like fucking Mike Liu and Og, where I was like living like in some deserted island with like fucking manga panels. That, like, what the no? Like, I had things to do. I was a student. It was fucking Light Yagami. It's like, I'm an honor student.
I guess I should change it to say, like, when I got into, like, the fan stuff.
Yes.
I was literally, like, a mom.
Sure, like, okay. Yeah, like, that's baby. I did not have that responsibility because I clearly wasn't having sex based on the way I was writing sex. Based on the way that I was writing sex back then, I obviously wasn't having any sex. Obviously was not having any. Woo.
You just had a flashback.
I have every fan fiction I ever wrote. I haven't gotten rid of any of it.
I'm still waiting to be able to read it.
So this is you waiting for me to die?
Yes.
Because that's the only way you're getting it from me.
I mean, it can happen. Listen.
Are you going to murder me for my fan? Have you threatened? Are you going to murder me for the smut I wrote when I was 12? You can just commission new smut. I'm better at it. I know what sex is now. I didn't when I was 12. Jesus Christ. Most fan works aren't licensed or published officially. That does not mean that they can never be published. As mentioned, I just got a fanzine. Basically means that you can just indie press this shit or go to your local Kinko's. Because I've seen that. Yeah. Just, like, in the early days of conventions. Yeah, you just go to the fucking Kinko's and staple your book together. So, not that these things are never published. They're just not usually published through a publishing house.
Right, right.
So, I actually loved getting my fanzine. It was very much worth the wait. Mm-hmm. So indie or small presses will compile stuff together, or again, like, they'll just do it out of pocket. Also see our episode on webcomics, where, again, it's seeing that subversion of the mainstream of, like, well, if you're not going to do this, I'm just going to go down to Office Depot and print out a bunch of copies of this.
Right, yeah.
And I'm saying that, you know, pejoratively. I know that, like, printing is more complicated than that, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, I know printing is much more complicated than that.
Right.
But sometimes it does just, feel like, I'm just going to have to go to fucking Office Depot. Ask no questions. Yes, I want this bound. Like, no, don't read it.
Please don't even flip through
it. Oh my god, there are some great stories of, like, fanfic artists and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, say, like, going to publishers, and it's like, oh yeah, can you print this, like, art book? And it's like, this is a lot of naked men. This is just...
See, that would excite me. I'm weird.
I think whenever you have to do it professionally, it's not as exciting. Kind of mortifying most of the time.
See, that's the thing, is, like, I would love that. I just like the thought of the person having to print it, being so, like, either embarrassed or hot and bothered.
Okay, so here's the thing. They're never hot and bothered. It is a literal inconvenience for the person at the FedEx office to have to print your dicks.
That's not fun.
Yeah, like, they have to print out your dicks. They're not having a good time. This is
well, I worked at Kinko's.
You'd have a good time.
I would have a great time.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, the 50-year-old man at Office Depot does not want to see this. He didn't ask for this. He doesn't want to be here.
Less fun.
Thank you.
Consent is important.
Even not just consent, but, like, he doesn't want to do this. Oh, my God. So, what is a doujin? Short for doujinshi. A doujin is usually a secondary fan-made manga. Now, this is where, again, we have to be careful with the term doujinshi, because some creators and artists will say that basically just, like, any smutty book is a doujin.
Interesting. Okay.
And not false, but also not accurate.
I guess, like, my perception of what a doujin is is a story that is not, it's not been printed or released in the traditional route. So, like, it's not going through Viz or Seven Seas or whoever. It's pretty much like the artist makes it and then they distribute it. And I thought, like, typically you would go, like you said before, you have to go to conventions or like in Japan they have like, don't they have like special
there's like entire bookshops of doujins.
Yeah
So, and that's more of the, that's typically more of closely aligned to what it means. So in the U.S., it typically also is secondary for some kind of fan-made comic about a thing. And again, fan is different because a lot of the doujins that we know and love are made by other mangaka. They just might be less famous, but it's like, oh, hey, here's this other, like, up-and-coming artist who did a Naruto one-shot or doujin because they were feeling themselves. I think where it gets muddy is things that are published through licensors that are still being called doujins, because like that's not what word means. It's not bad, it's just, it's one of those like weird double speak moments of like when you've heard a word mean something your whole life and suddenly it doesn't. It's like, huh. Doujins can be created by literally anyone, including the source mangaka themselves. Which I think is great.
Like Fumi Yoshinaga.
She loves to do an insert doujin, doesn't she?
I still haven't read mine.
I think you should.
I need to.
Maki Murakami did it with Gravitation, and Fusunosuke Sensei did it with Maiden Rose. There's actually a bunch of Maiden Rose doujins that are aggressively very cute.
Oh.
Some of them are less cute, but most of them are actually quite cute.
Yeah. I mean, while we're talking about famous mangaka doing doujin, I mean, let's talk about the fact that Clamp's entire entire list is basically doujin.
Like, well, and Clamp,
that's where I started.
Clamp does something that I think is fascinating, which is Clamp loves fan works in theory. Because, so, Code Geass has these titles called Knight and Prince. And in those, you will actually find some doujins. Because it's other creators drawing based off of pairings and, like, writing. But Knight and... It's Knight and Queen, sorry. Knight and Queen. Knight is the boy's love, like, four coma slash parody. Queen is the female. So... None of these pairings are official, of course. But if you look at Code Geass, all of them make sense. Because Clamp loves to queerbait you. But if you ascribe any actual meaning to it, or if you press them too hard on any of it, they get very upset. Or like if you read, because I have the character guide for Tsubasa. mm-hmm. which is a series I like quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And, like, consistently, year after year, Kurogane and Fi are, like, top pairing. Mm-hmm. And one of the comments underneath, because, you know, they have to comment on it, it's like, we do love that all of you feel this way.
That seems pretty straightforward.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know. I mean,
it's like, we're so glad that you, it's basically a, you are entitled to your wrong opinion.
I don't know. I might disagree. Because, like, I don't know. I think they really do.
Then why won't they canonize any of it?
Well, I'm not trying to be an apologist.
I wish you would.
But to be fair, like, Kurogane and Fi, neither, they don't end up with anyone. Like,
well,
they're with,
yeah, but, like, that's not the point.
And, like, romance isn't their main, like, thing. Like, I feel like,
yes. Yukito and Toya?
Okay, they are canon.
They are canon in some stories.
They are definitely canon where it counts.
but not everywhere. Your
they,
love is accepted in
even,
some places.
The fact that they are, like, because they are canon in Cardcaptor, mm-hmm. Sakura, and even in Tsubasa, like, they're still together, like, They're always together. Like, in every storyline,
they're always a couple. That doesn't mean anything. You have to canonize things.
It means everything.
Okay. Oh my god.
The context is so, like, it's so strong.
But that's a fangirl thing. We don't have canon
real.
For.
Like. I've read too much of their thing. I will fight you on this.
I agree with you. I know they're married. Clamp won't say they're married.
They are a couple.
I agree with you. I know that they're married. Clamp won't say it. So.
The one thing I like about Cardcaptor Sakura is
they get to be together.
Yes.
The purest version of a doujin, typically, though, is a fan comic made by a fan creator. Again, mm-hmm. though that fan creator can be a professional mm-hmm. or a semi-professional mangaka and is distributed through alternative means. At the heart of the word doujin is uh-huh. distributed through alternative means.
Right, yeah.
So, again, when... Because it's not just the one company we've been discussing in Veils. A few artists will say, like, oh, this is my doujin. Like, this is just a printout of your comic. Mm. That's not a doujin. Mm-hmm. That's just a graphic novel, which is fine. But a doujin, this is not.
Interesting.
Right. So, like, it's one of those things that, like, it definitely... It has such a strong connotation to fans of a certain age mm-hmm. that I think that... When some people try to use it and they use it incorrectly, it can kind of have, like, a visceral reaction. Mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm. that's not what word means, but okay, I can't tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not... Because there was a smut artist that I follow on Twitter who's like, oh, I'm publishing my first doujin. I'm like, oh, like, are you, like, doing a fan work of someone else? And it's like, oh, it's just a book of a thing that I already did. Like, that's not a doujin. It's just a graphic novel. That's literally just a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's just a printing of your comic. That is not mm-hmm. a doujinshi.
Okay. Okay. I think I'm getting what you... I think I'm starting to understand the connotation then.
Right.
So, like, from what your definition, it's a... it is a fan work. So, like, it's like a... Like, our version of fan fiction.
Yes. I used air quotes if you're just listening. Not just that it's fan fiction. It's typically mm-hmm. a fan work or secondary work to a main series. Mm-hmm. So, like...
Okay.
But the distribution is through alternative means.
Okay.
So, that's typically the big part of doujin mm-hmm. is that non-traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. And then the other aspect of it being either a fan work or almost more like an omake, where, like, it's kind of dumb, doesn't make sense, and, like, it doesn't really fit in main story, but like we want this here for some reason.
Right.
It's like we want this here because we feel like it. Typically they tend to be a little bit more self-indulgent. So like if you look at like a lot of the ones, like the ones that I list particularly are ones that are very self-indulgent. Like the Gravitation Mega Mixes and Remixes are just entirely wish fulfillment for Maki Murakami. Like they have really no place in the mainline story. You do technically need that information because it helps understand the characters a little bit more, but your reading of Gravitation can be complete without it.
Right.
It's just, I wanted to do this. And actually a lot of her notes in the doujins are very much like, I just wanted to see these characters fuck. Like, okay.
Right.
And I'm like, and what are you going to say? Like, she created the series. like, what are you going... I'm not going to tell Maki Murakami she's wrong. So... Right. So it's like, it's not just printing the thing you already did. Like, there usually has to be some transformation to it. And that's the big thing is, again, it's that distributed through alternative means. Like, a lot of doujins, like, really hand-pressed or, like, really, really neatly pressed because it's done typically indie or small batch. So, which is why doujin shops are so cool. I love doujin shops. So that's the big things. Like, when artists use it, I mean, the abuse of the word doujin is not the biggest battle I could have on the internet. I'm just old. I'm old and I'm bored. Out of all the hills I can die on, this is it. I can pick any hill to die on. I'm fine with this one, thanks.
I guess it's not a bad one.
No, it's not the worst. But you have gained some insight into the doujin world. How are you liking it?
I have. Okay, so the way I've been introduced to it, which of course I do have some of Fumi Yoshinaga's doujin for Antique Bakery and for What Did You Eat Yesterday? I have not read them yet for whatever reason. I don't know why I haven't read them yet. I just keep forgetting. But yeah, my introduction into doujin has been through, you know, us getting stuff from a certain doujin publisher. And so that's why my perception has been like, oh, it's sort of like self-published stuff is what in my mind, like that's what I think of, or like self-published.
So the self-published part isn't wrong.
Okay,
so okay, we're gonna have a history of doujin.
Yes.
So technically, the way modern doujin started was really with, like, Comiket, which is a really, really big convention in Japan.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So,
I haven't been there, but...
I wish.
And I've been to Japan, but not to... Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna let you keep going. Typically, doujin creators are always basing off of someone else's work. Almost always. Like, the modern definition of doujin... like 90% of the time is someone working from someone else's work.
Okay.
Again, there are creators who have done their own, but like 80-90% it's a mangaka working from someone else's stuff. And they print and press very, very small to avoid copyright and litigation.
Okay.
So that's where in Japan we get the main word for doujin. In the U.S., it's mostly perceived, like, in the same line as fan fiction or, like, a fan comic. And that's a good way to perceive it. You think of it as a fan comic. So when you say, like, doujin publisher, like, that is, like, a divide by zero in my brain. Because the whole point is that there isn't a big distributor for that.
Right.
Now, there has been a really, really big push to bring this stuff over to the U.S. legally. Especially the ones from like other mangaka artists, like a Fusunosuke who did Maiden Rose has done a bunch of doujins for Full Metal Alchemist, and they're amazing. It was almost like World War II uniforms and buff men who want to fuck each other. That's her wheelhouse. So her and Full Metal Alchemist get along very, very well. I would pay so much money to get her doujins legally.
Right.
Oh my god, if I could get them legally. Shut up and take my money.
Right, yeah.
So there have been a lot of ways that American publishers have been trying to get doujin to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it has not worked very well. The big mm-hmm. thing is now licensing, because now we have to figure out how we license a Fusunosuke and an Arakawa, because it's technically not her IP,
mm-hmm.
and then translation. So there's a lot of balls in the air for doujin and it coming over legally. But that kind of pirate spirit that is in older fandom is one of the big things that makes doujin so cool. It was something that you kind of like slid under the table, like, oh, hey, I found this thing. Again, piracy is bad and blah, 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 blah. But like, but like that part of it, that illicit, frankly illegal, mm-hmm. even for Fusunosuke, part of it is what makes it so alluring. So the
idea,
it almost takes the fun out of it when it's like a legal doujin publisher. That's just a manga. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mm-hmm. like manga, but a doujin this might not be. Does that make more sense?
I think that makes more sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I do think that makes more
right.
sense.
Right. And again, like, mm-hmm. not bad and not entirely wrong,
mm-hmm.
but if the whole point is kind of, we're printing small in indie because what we're doing is technically illegal.
Mm,
by just right. publishing original IPs,
mm-hmm.
a doujin that is not.
Okay. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Okay.
Right.
We've had a lot of talk about doujins.
Yeah. That made sense. Like, that actually, yes.
We landed the plane.
I fully now understand.
Okay.
Yes, what you were, because I was like, I don't know if I get it, but now, yes.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just publishing an original IP one-to-one, right. a doujin this is not.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So... that's yes. doujin. I would love if we got more doujin in the U.S. legally, mm-hmm. And translated, because again, like some of the doujins, they do add a lot to the story. To not talk about Antique Bakery for 5 minutes and talk about Maiden Rose for the third time, one of the doujins that Fusunosuke does for Maiden Rose is mm-hmm. Klaus and Taki's time in military school, and that's a very important part of their relationship. That you only hear about in snippets in the manga.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know their relationship when they were in military school. So when Taki basically blue balls Klaus and Klaus gets upset about it, right. now you know why. Because otherwise, if you just read volume one, it really feels like it's coming out of nowhere.
Mm.
And not, I'm a very, very soft Klaus apologist. He's still bad and he still does bad things, but. Taki's not entirely innocent either.
Mm-hmm.
But you really need that story from when they were in military school together to see how hot they burned
mm-hmm.
when Taki was allowed to be away from home. Only then to make Klaus abandon his entire life, go to another country, serve under a military that does not like or respect him because of race issues, and then be ignored by the person he loves more than anyone else because they can't be together in his country.
Sounds tragic.
It is. It's very dramatic. It's why I love it so much.
Yeah, I was just about to say
it's why I love it so much.
Why you like it.
But like, again, it doesn't make anything that Klaus does okay, but it adds so much more context to like
mm-hmm.
why, because otherwise like it feels like it goes from zero to rape real fast. It's like right. whoa, what happened?
Right. Which it makes me wonder, like, why sometimes I do wonder, like, why couldn't the mangaka just put certain things in there so then they don't have to make a whole separate doujin?
So writer to write, things. So here's a writer speaking. Writing is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just hard. And sometimes you don't have those answers mm-hmm. when you're doing it.
Okay.
So, like, I have a really, really long, which is technically a doujin for gravitation.
Mm-hmm.
That I started when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I am just now answering questions that I started 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I have the clarity of mind, and now the characters have been through enough, And now I've matured enough as a writer to finally start answering some of those questions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just drop a mystery box and it's just there.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Like, there's, like, it's just, that's the only answer. Writing is hard. Mm-hmm. That's why not everyone does it. Like, it's just hard. And sometimes you don't have space within your narrative. There's actually probably a reason why it was cut from the original narrative, because mm-hmm. it gave away the ghost. So again, like, you kind of, you do need it for the main story, but in hindsight, it's a much cooler read. Like, oh, mm-hmm. that's why.
Yeah.
I still need the main context of the story, mm-hmm. but now I know when Klaus is saying all these things about when we were back in school, now I understand what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the Antique Bakery Dojin. You need to get through Antique Bakery before you get to that Dojin. So yeah. No, she couldn't have just tacked that in on... Mm. She couldn't have just had an epilogue episode. No, like... just add another car to the train. No, you can't do that. Or, oh my god, the best example of that is Gravitation, where there's volumes, 10 plus, of the mega mixes and the remixes of just expository information that you are never getting in the mainline series. Mm. And it completely rewrites your reading of Gravitation. Mm-hmm. It's a complete reading if you never get it. But if you do, it completely reframes the entire series. Hmm. So, yeah, it isn't as simple as why couldn't you just say that here?
Right.
Because I couldn't. Like, that's why. Because I love writer interviews, and I love when people ask me, like, my process. It's like, why did you make this decision? I have no idea. I don't know. It just happened. Like, what inspired you to make this line? Probably Dr. Pepper and not sleeping. It's like, there's no... The mythology around writing is so amazing to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, the writer, they just sit in their little room and they flitter away tippy-typey. No, a lot of it is just, like, angry masturbation, crying... And then, like, feverishly ejaculating words onto a Google Doc. And, like, a fit of feverish mania.
Sounds...
It's not elegant.
So
it's
fun. It's,
I'm exhausted all the time. I'm so tired.
And yet you still do. I mean, I say that as someone who still... takes ballet classes after
right like yeah like
it's tearing it, up her feet
but, right like it's know. Killing me, but I'm not gonna stop,
yeah, because I love it. So yeah, I guess
right like it's any yeah. right like you're gonna do what was that a Black Swan, that movie that everyone had too much fun watching.
I never saw it.
Do you just I was gonna say, like, do you not see movies? I know the answer to that question.
Don't.
You don't.
Yeah, I'm not a huge movie
I was going to say, and then I remembered no, you don't.
No, I don't. It's very, like, if I'm watching a movie, I'm either being forced to watch it.
Natalie Portman or, and Mila Kunis are in it.
Yeah, I know, and I love them both. I would like to see it, I think.
It's, weird.
Yeah.
I think everyone thinks they know what it means, only to find out they don't know what it means. Mm. I feel like it's, like, one of those movies, because I'm pretty sure it's a Darren Aronofsky. And he's, like, king director of, you think you know what right. this is, and you actually have no idea, which is fair. So, as we talk about artists destroying themselves, why fan work? Why? Why can't you just not? So, actually, I got into this with someone about, like, fan fiction, because I write fan mm-hmm. fiction. It's like, well, why do you do that? Isn't what the writer wrote enough? How come mm-hmm. you think you can do it better? And I just casually said, because I know I can. My dick is bigger than yours. Like, it's like, how do you have the nerve to think that you're better than J.K. Rowling? Well, firstly, I'm not a TERF, so I'm already better.
There's that.
Secondly, man, she's just awful.
Yeah.
Secondly, because I want to. And even if I don't think I'm better, like, I think the thing that a lot of people also forget about fan work is that most of the time, no one's getting paid for this. Mm-hmm. I don't owe anyone anything. Mm-hmm. If I want to write 5,000 words about Draco Malfoy making very, very sweet love to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, why shouldn't you? Why, like, instead of asking, like, why do you do this, why not? Like, why not do it? If you have the, if you, I almost
if
like
you
time,
want
if
to.
If you want to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
Because if you want to make the time to do it, then do it. I don't.
Right. Because I will say, like, there's a gatekeepery older part of fandom that's like, you aren't a fan unless you make something. I don't think that's true. I will never. Yeah, that's gross.
So silly. Like, okay, I was going to say, I do make videos about the things that I like on the internet.
Yeah, that's
so
technically
I guess
a fan work.
I'm making something.
You are.
But.
You are contributing.
Yeah, but even if I didn't, like, before I. Because, like, I was a manga fan before I started making videos. Like, so they can eat my ass.
Well, but also, again, like, we didn't have things like this back then. So, like, unless you were, like, very tangibly creating, it was hard to prove fandom. So, like, I'm not saying it's right, but because I was there, I kind of get where the thought process is.
Yeah.
We didn't have elaborate YouTube shows back in the day.
Right.
Like, unless you were drawing the fucking Sharingan on every binder you had in school, how else was anyone supposed to know? Unless you were talking about the fanfic that you wrote with your friends and, like, some kind of weird high school circle jerk, how else was anyone going to know?
Right.
Like.
Yeah. That's, and I have to remember, too, like, the ages that, like, exactly. when you, because when you are that young, of course you're kind of an asshole. Like, and you kind of think, like, oh, if you don't do this, then you're not, like,
I don't think
me,
it was just
like,
that you were kind of an asshole. I think it was.
Yeah. It well okay I
said just me. I didn't say that there's no part of it that's asshole. I just think it's not as simple as that. But please continue.
Well, okay, because I have always been, well, we've been friends for long enough, I think you've figured out that I'm just very much like, I'm when it comes to stuff like this, I'm so chill. Like, if someone tells me that they like anime, I'm not gonna question them. I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, if you like anime, you know, or if they like manga or whatever, like, I just don't, I'm just like, oh, cool, you like, you know, and I might say, well, oh, you like anime, like, what one do you, like, what do you like, and then we can talk about it, but, like, I'm just not a gatekeepery person when it comes to stuff like this, when it comes to fan stuff, and so, for me, like, it's just a hard concept to, like, to really empathize with, because I'm just like, you sound, like, it just sounds really, like, I don't know. Like, it just kind of sounds jerky.
So, like, okay. So, here's my very, very, very soft defense of gatekeeping. Because I grew up in, like, Dallas, which is, like, peak nerd city. A lot of gatekeeping. Like, actually, I was at a convention a few years ago. And I was in a comic book shop. And I had a like, random kid clock me. And was like, name all the Robins from Batman and Robin. And I missed one. I literally missed the most recent one, Damian Wayne. But I even included the dumb girl one that no one cares about. But, like, it was always Legends of the Hidden Temple, because there was so much proving that women had to do, that black women had to do, that queer people had to do to show that they were a fan. Right. And I will say that there is a part of me that genuinely loves that experience. Because now I can fucking fight you. And I know that I know more than you. And I know that my dick is bigger than yours. Because I've had to study. I have had to know all the lantern corps and all of their oaths. I had to know all of the tribes in Naruto. I had to know all the state military stuff in Fullmetal Alchemist. I didn't have the luxury of being able to just say, I like anime. And then it be dropped at that.
Yeah. See, I think that's where we're different. Because even back then, listen, I'm just not, I wish somebody would try to check. Like, I wish somebody would try to come to me and say, oh, well, I just don't care. And I don't care enough to, like, to do all that to prove to some random ass person that I'm a like, I'm just like, I know how.
Well, I was never doing it of my own accord. Like, I was never like putting my dick on the table. I was asked a lot.
You were being challenged.
I was being challenged. It was a like when I said it was like Legends of the Hidden Temple. That's what it was. It was like ascending layers of fedora douche to actually fucking check out. Like, and I'm not saying that that's right. There's no part of me that's advocating that or saying that that's right.
Change your experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it made me a stronger fan. Mm-hmm. It made me a fan who can take people's bullshit. It made me a fan that doesn't care. But also it made me a fan that's knowledgeable. Because I do care.
Yeah.
Down to the granular level. And it may again be when I was reading and doing a lot of this stuff because I was a kid and had nothing to do.
I mean, as someone who literally has a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old, kids don't have shit to do. Don't argue with me.
Like, I'm going to argue with you a little bit because you don't know my life when I was 14.
That's true. Okay, give you that.
Yeah, you don't know what I was doing. But like, yeah, we didn't have anything better to do. And I think that there is, in some cases, a loving intention to that challenge. Because there is nothing like trying to have a conversation with someone and you're here and they're here. That's the most deflating feeling in the entire world. Because I've had that, like, with the Rise of Marvel movies, where you get the dude bro, yeah, Star-Lord! I'm like, oh my gosh, the Nova Corps is so cool. Where do you expect? I don't know what the fucking Nova Corps is. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
okay.
Shut up! I hate you. Like, and again, I know that there's a place for casual fandom, but that's a shitty feeling. It just sucks. It just, it's just a shitty feeling to like,
you're excited.
Because you're excited and like, again, for a lot of us fans, we've been training our whole lives for this. And because of the access, any jerk off can just go see a Guardians of the Galaxy and understand it.
Right.
I use big quotation marks if you're not watching the video.
Right.
Like,
I mean, from that perspective, I can, if I'm looking at it from the perspective of someone who's just excited,
sure.
And you say that you like something, and then they are, so like maybe they're not quizzing you out of malice. It's just excitement,
right?
So that is way more understandable.
Yeah, I fuck all those guys in Dallas who were like quiz mastering me. Fuck all of them.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, I think there's a reason to it. And especially like as I get older and as I see these things that they were concerned about when I was younger, like cosplayers who are only doing this for clout, like girls who've never seen an anime and are dressing as this character because they got commissioned, I use quotes again, by a company to do a lewd. Like, I don't have the same reaction. But I get it. I'd also be frustrated if I was trying to talk to a girl who said that she was into a thing. And I don't mean girls. Because, like, okay, so I had this with Harry Potter not long ago. I was on the bus. And there was this guy, and he had a backpack of all the Horcrux symbols. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. Like, what house are you in? And he's like, I don't know what any of these symbols mean. I just thought it was cool looking. And I'm like, first of all, that's how you get demons. Don't ever just buy something because you think it looks cool.
Right.
Don't fucking ever. That is 100% how you get demons. Don't really ever go into like a secondhand store. Oh, I just bought this box because it looks cool. That's how you get demons.
It has like engravings and stuff on it.
Right. Like it has like engravings and weird markings. Like, you know, the Horcrux symbol from Harry Potter.
Right.
It was covered in that. That's how you get demons. Don't ever buy something.
If I didn't know what it was, I would not. I wouldn't absolutely touch it with 10-foot pole.
No.
But I'm also like,
we're also black.
We're
also black.
I'm not religious. I was raised.
We're very superstitious.
We don't fuck with that.
No, we don't. So, like, that was such a deflating experience. Because I thought I met Ken.
Right.
Because, and again, like, you also have to think about it back in the day where this shit was not popular.
Right.
It wasn't. Like, it blows my mind that conventions are what they are now, for better or worse. Like, it just wasn't like that. So I think it's rooted in something that is real. It's to abate that disappointment. Because it sucks. Now, what it became was an excuse to be a misogynist and a racist right. and a homophobe and a transphobe, and that can go fuck itself right off.
Right.
But I think it's genuinely rooted in, I'm just trying to figure out who my family is.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. And I will say, I have an added, like, for me, I think an added layer for, like, for my, how I interact with things is that, like, I've always been, I'm used to being alone in fandom, if that makes sense.
I've never been, like, alone.
Like, I'm used to, because, like, I grew up, for one, again, we're Black.
We are.
You know, so.
This is white people shit.
I grew up in a Black family where the stuff that I was, like, which I didn't discover, I didn't find out about manga until I was an adult, but, like, I was into stuff that, like, nobody else in my family was, you know, into. Kids at school, like, and I was in, like, this weird position to where, like, I mean, in high school, I was a cheerleader, but I was also into, like, nerdy stuff, but, like, the nerds didn't want to, like, this is going to sound so weird. Nerds were too afraid to...
Because you were a cheerleader.
...talk to me because I was a cheerleader, and they thought, like, they had all these beliefs about how I was going to treat them or whatever. And then, like, the popular people, the cheerleaders, if I wanted to stay in good with them... they couldn't know that I was, like, a nerd. So I had to, like, kind of toe...
You were living a double life.
...line. Yeah, so I was, like, always on my own with my fandom.
And I had the opposite experience in high school. Mm-hmm. I got to be Prince Nerd. I was president of the anime club. I was on the debate team. I got to be King Nerd, and I made a reputation of being King Nerd. So I had a following. I had a flock. I had people that were into the same thing that I was. I've never been alone in fandom.
Right.
So, yeah, like...
So, you're used to... Yeah, for me, though, like, even in college... Like, even when I got to college...
I was president in college.
I did find some people that were into what I mean. Like, well, I found Matt, honestly. Like, and then, like, I had, like, a small group of people. Mm-hmm. But even at the college that I first went to... again, it's small. It was a rural town, you know, and a rural college town where... people just weren't, like, there just weren't a whole lot of people, you know, so I was always kind of alone.
Right.
And then when I found manga, I was newly married, new mom, didn't leave the house, really, and so, like, I had, you know, again, I was alone, so I'm used to being alone in fandom, so the whole, like, idea of this big fandom thing is so foreign to me, and, like, so the idea of having to prove myself is foreign to me, because I've never... had to, because I was always alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes complete sense. Like, yeah, the idea of being alone to me makes no sense, because I've never had that. I've never I think, like, as an adult, this is the most alone I've been in fandom. But even then, like, all of my friends are still fans, and we still have discourse, and then I panel and I go to conventions, so, like, this might be, like, the most alone I've been. So again, like, I think the gatekeeping part is rooted in something. I think it where it went is bad, and I hate it, and fuck that shit. But I think it's rooted in, I'm just trying to find my family.
I can respect that. I really
think it is, because,
like,
it sucks. And, like, it sounds really selfish and petty, but, like, when you're 16, 17 years old, and this is your whole thing because you have nothing else going on in your life, that deflation can be deadly.
Yeah.
It's a form of rejection.
Right.
It sucks.
Right. It makes you feel like...
It makes you feel like you're a freak. Like, something's wrong with you. Or, honestly, it's just disappointing. Like, I'm an adult, and I get really hyped up over MCU movies. And when people aren't on my level about it, it upsets me. Because I've been investing in this stuff, not just for the 10 years of the MCU, my whole fucking life.
Right.
So, yeah, like, it just sucks not being on the same level as people. And that sounds like... super more pretentious than I mean for it to sound, but you know what
I
mean.
No, but I get what you mean, because it's like you want to find other people who are just as excited about this thing as you are. It's not even, I mean, yeah, you could say, like, the way you worded it, but I think what I hear what you mean,
right? Because it sounds so, like, get on my level, noob, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear, because
honestly,
you mean.
Like, even my friends that aren't on my level, they're enthusiastic to hear about it.
Yeah,
it's the deflation part that it's like, what the fuck is that?
Right, right.
Now I feel gross. Now I feel like an idiot. Right. Like now.
Yeah.
Because it's also vulnerable. Because again, like back in the day, this stuff was not popular. I'm essentially bearing a small piece of my soul to you that could get me socially ostracized.
Right. Yeah.
Because I thought I could trust you. You have the same symbol on your bag that I do. We're supposed to be family. But you're not.
Right.
Because you don't actually know. And now I've exposed this part of myself.
And I'm feeling vulnerable.
And I'm feeling very vulnerable and rejected and hurt.
Right. And then you can be, and some people manifest that in defensiveness.
Right.
You know?
Some of them become homophobes.
Or TERFs.
Yeah, some of them become TERFs, which is not acceptable. But, you know.
No,
like,
please don't.
Again, giant air quotes. I can see how, you know, if I was one of those nerdy, gross comic book guys, and I kept meeting girl after girl after girl who wasn't on my level, I'd get disillusioned too. Not enough to be a fucking misogynist, but Amanda with the hot takes. Not enough to be a fucking misogynist, but like, because actually I get that with men. Because I'll say that I'm into comic books, and they'll immediately assume that I'm not on their level. And they'll talk down to me. And it's like, I'm going to fucking slice your kneecaps open. Because I know more than you. I know I know more than you.
Right.
And I'll fight you. So why do fan work? Why fan work? So there's a few reasons. Sometimes writers are bad, and you can just do better.
Fair.
Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes there's a
kid. They're only human, so.
And I say bad, like, lovingly. Because, I mean, like, obviously, like, well, no, because I can't say, like, publishing means good things, because now anyone can publish. So.
Right.
Amanda Shady, I'm sorry.
Even back in the day, I mean, real talk.
Yeah.
Like Amanda, just because it's published
doesn't mean
that
it's good.
Good.
Right. Like, I was going to list a book, and I'm like, I'm going to get read to filth, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh. But sometimes there's characters or a pairing or a setting that you want to explore more. That's what I found is the big things. Like, one of the things that got me, like, writing Harry Potter was wanting to explore more of Slytherin. Because I'm very, very proud of being a Slytherin, despite J.K. Rowling being a TERF. Sometimes the ending was bad.
Yeah.
And you have every right to be mad about that. Sometimes you just want to. One of the biggest things that I always say is I write for revenge. Because there's a character that I feel was wronged, or an aspect of, like, that world that I feel was wronged. And it's like, I'm going to do this better. Because you did them dirty, and I don't like that. Or to just escape. I think that's one of the biggest things, because, again, like, did this when I was young and had nothing to do. It was really just escapism. My life was shitty back then.
Right.
But you know what wasn't shitty? Inuyasha's forest.
Yeah.
Or it was shitty in a different way. Like, the state military in Fullmetal Alchemist wasn't shitty. Whatever weird high school that Light Yagami and Death Note goes to, that wasn't as shitty. Like, at the end of the day, a lot of fan work was about escapism.
Of course.
It was about control. For many of us who'd been through trauma, it was about a way of reclaiming sex and sexuality as well. And that's something that is really a whole other conversation that we could have. Kind of like reconquista of sex and sexuality and gender orientation. But at the heart of it is escapism. And as I got back to writing fanfic, because I stopped for a little while, and even now as I'm publishing fanfic again, I forgot how cool that escapism was. Because it always just felt like work. Like, especially as I got older, it always just felt like work. It felt like an obligation.
Yeah.
It was something that I had to drain. It was something that I had to, like, expend from my body. But it's not. Like, at the end of the day, it's a beautiful escapism. And I think that you shouldn't ignore that part. So how do I, listener, get started doing a fan work if you want to? I literally did make an allusion to The Sound of Music because that's the kind of person I am. Just do it. And if you don't want to, literally no one's making you. Because I will say, this is not for everyone. And I don't think that there is a casual fan work life sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes.
Because even with, if we're considering like what I do, fan work, mm-hmm. videos and all, like me, I'm like, oh, I just want to, this is just a hobby, I just want to be casual. And then 2 seconds later, oh my God, let's do all of these things. So, right. I mean,
I get your text messages. I know. I'm there. I get your messages.
I've been called out not just by you, but also my other podcast host, because I was like, we're only doing this once a month and we're only gonna do, and then like 2 days later it's like, oh my gosh,
I'm gonna drag the fuck out of you. So Aisha, when I prostrated in front of her and presented this, one of the things that we always said was that this would be like casual and low-key. Aisha will message me at all hours of the Christian day, do you want to go live this weekend? It's like, I have things to do, I have a job. It's like, just for the person who screamed at me, this is just a hobby, I just want to keep this casual, I just want to keep this low-key, Aisha is the first one to hop on my dick and demand that we do something.
Yeah.
And I love her for it, but it's so,
I don't even know why I'm like, I literally be like, I don't want to do anything, and then do everything.
And then text me five messages of things that you want to do. And then complains when I say, okay, I'll make time to do it. I don't want to. This is just a hobby.
And then I do it anyway.
And then you do it anyways, but then you complain afterwards. Even though it was your idea, and I made time for it. And then it's like, I just wanted this to be low key. I'm like, okay.
Drag me.
It's like, okay. I don't think that there is an easy way to be casual with this.
No, because it's
And
fun.
I say that lovingly. I don't want anyone to get in over their heads.
True.
Because here's another big thing with fan work is that if you are sharing, the internet is full of assholes. Now, I'm very lucky that I have not received a great deal of scrutiny on my work,
mm-hmm.
because I don't suck. Little. I've also been doing this for like 20 years. I hope I don't suck by now. I've also been doing this since I was a literal child.
Right.
I hope with this many years of experience,
exactly.
I don't suck. But sometimes people are dicks, and sometimes mm-hmm. rightfully, because again, like, I think that you only get better with criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be careful with how I say this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't handle that, I would recommend not tiptoeing into this world. And I will caveat by saying, no one likes unhelpful critiques.
Well, sure. Yeah, there's
no one likes that.
Yeah, don't be rude, like, for no reason.
I mean, it's the internet.
Yeah.
But fortunately for me, most of the comments I've received on my published work as of now has been positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for it. I wouldn't mind a negative critique. Tell me what I can do better.
Yeah.
Tell me if this is pejorative. Tell me if I'm tropey as fuck. Tell me if I'm too out of character.
Mm.
I can ignore you.
Right, yeah.
But if someone has a valid critique of what I did, please tell me.
Yeah.
Now, I admit, I get a lot of very unhelpful critiques as a panelist.
Yeah.
But just because I don't get paid for it doesn't mean that I'm above scrutiny.
Right. I would say for me, the only time, specifically for, like, my YouTube stuff,
mm-hmm.
the only time, which, I will be honest, like, I don't typically get a whole lot of, I don't really get, like, it's, I mostly get positive comments.
Right, I was gonna say, like, who's coming for you?
Yeah, no one's coming for me, but, like, I have had people, mm-hmm. like, kind of make comments about, let's say, like, what was it? Oh, one time, because, like, you know, I deal with my camera kind of, like, it takes a long time sometimes
sure.
to get back into focus. People have commented on that, and my first thought was, like, bitch, you want to buy me a new camera then? Like, because I'm sorry, but, like, that's a big, like, when people start critiquing, like,
mm-hmm.
the equipment that I'm using,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever, like, that irritates me, because I'm like, do you know how much money it costs? Like, do you know how, like, honestly... Mm-hmm. Like,
I remember when we first started doing this podcast, like, how, like, heated you would get.
Sensitive.
And again, no, I get it.
It's a soft spot for me just because,
and that's fair.
I know how much money goes into, mm-hmm. like, people just act like it's so easy. Like, they're like, oh, you need a better mic. And I'm like, mm-hmm. do you have better mic money?
Right.
Like, I get really heated about that.
Another aspect of this that I think is fascinating, because I had this with my other podcast host. Mm-hmm. At the end of our first year, we did a retrospective episode. And, like, I just pulled questions from, like, a website, like, you know, like, typical interview questions. And one of them was, like, you know, what was your biggest failure? We both have generalized anxiety. So, like, that was the worst question to ask us. Because every episode is a failure. Like, every episode for us. And I say that lovingly. But, like, every episode is bad for us. Mm-hmm. We all, like, every episode is like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, right. Fuck. Like, that we had an audio crackle. Like, it was emotional flagellation. Mm-hmm. Having to go through and think about that, because we've already done it to a granular level. Mm-hmm. We have anxiety. That's all we do is sit and just pick and at old wounds. That's all we do. So we didn't need any more feedback about that. Mm-hmm. We had already had that conversation with ourselves 50 times in different languages.
Right.
So there's that part that I get. But then again, don't publish. So, like, I actually had this conversation with a friend who's doing a Kinktober, which I'm not doing because I'm lazy. just full disclosure, I'm not doing it. I don't feel like it. There are things that I've written that will never be shown the public light because I'm not in the mood to defend it.
Right.
It was stuff that I either wrote when I was in high school or hasn't aged well, or that's not a word that we use anymore, because a lot of my writing grew up with me.
Right.
So guess what? That's in the reserve collection. No one's seeing that. Yeah. And that's fine, because except I'm not going to, except for you and I, upon my death, just waiting. But like, no, because I'm not in the mood to defend myself against some fucking woke ass 16-year-old who's like, I don't like the usage of that word for trans people. I don't either. But it was 2006. Mm-hmm. It was the word we had.
Right.
We had no other word. It's not an excuse, it's just a reality. Figure out what medium works best for you. Mm-hmm. Remember to have fun, collaborate, research, and find the best tools for you. My big thing is I like to keep costs low unless I'm really, really into it. Mm-hmm. Note that I didn't get a good microphone for podcasting until I'd been podcasting for years. I did not buy the cart before the horse.
Right.
So if you're thinking about doing fan art, don't get a Wacom tablet yet.
Yeah. I was gonna say, if you want to do YouTube videos, when I first started doing YouTube before Mama Loves Manga, I recorded and edited on my iPhone. And at the time, I think I don't remember which iPhone I had. Mm-hmm. Whatever was out, whatever was probably already old in 2016, honestly. So, you know, I filmed and edited everything on my phone. And then eventually I got a laptop. Eventually I got, you know, the editing software. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I got a camera. Mm-hmm. And I've had the same camera ever since since I got it, you know. And, I mean, over time I've upgraded. Sure. I guess you could say I've upgraded. Sure. I've added more equipment. But that's just as I've felt like, okay, I'm gonna keep doing this.
Exactly.
I'm going to invest a little bit. Honestly, also too, it's because I have a husband who really likes tech stuff. And so anytime I have like any interest, he's like, oh, this is what you need, and then we'll buy stuff. And I'm like, oh, a new thing for me to try to figure out how to use. Thanks. But then it all works out. But you know, it's just don't feel pressure to have to. And also don't feel pressure to be good, because you're not going to be good. Your first video or fan art, whatever you're doing, your first one's going
to
suck.
Yeah. Oh, like if I had to go dig up my old first fan fiction, it's trash.
Yeah.
It's like, I can promise you it's trash. In all fairness, even if I don't think I suck, I still think 90% of what I do is trash.
That's also, same.
And like, I'll have little moments where I'm like, this was a good paragraph. And I'll share that with a friend. I'm like, I wrote a good paragraph. I'm like, you did good.
And I like, fully understand that. Like, don't even get me started on.
And I feel like such a little gremlin, because I actually just did that. I wrote a really, really long post for Fangirl Nation about like missing cosplay, and I wrote like one good paragraph. And I had like one. I had the biggest fucking boner, and then two, I felt like such a fucking gremlin. Like, sure, I'm like, look at this paragraph I wrote. I'm proud of myself. I felt like such a goddamn little, like, hobgoblin. I hated it.
Oh, gosh. What I love is, like, when I am doing something that I am getting paid for, mm-hmm. and then I, like, look at it, I'm like, why the fuck is somebody paying me for this? Like, oh, I get that it's sometimes. Just, I feel, I'm just like, this is disgusting, this is stupid, nobody's gonna like this. And then it's fine.
I get that a lot with, like, conventions that book me for, like, panels.
Yeah.
It's like, why the fuck does anyone let me do this? Like,
why am I doing this? Why am I even here?
Why does anyone give me a microphone? Because all I'm going to do is screech about feminism. I'm not even going to talk about anime.
The imposter syndrome.
Right. Like, I'm not even going to talk about anime. I'm just going to yell about feminism and being mentally ill.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Start small and start cheap, because, mm-hmm. like, oh my god, you have no idea how many artists I know. It's like, oh my god, I'm gonna do art, I just bought a tablet. You're not good enough for that.
No,
you just wasted money.
Right, please get a little cheap,
get
one of those, like, sketch pads from,
right, start
from
on
Walmart.
Fucking paper.
Yes.
Get some construction paper, it's like a dollar at Walmart.
Yes. Some paper.
Maybe get some nice pins.
Or something.
Treat
yeah,
yourself okay. a little bit. Maybe get, like, some nice, like, $10, $15 pins.
Right.
You don't need Coptic for your first fucking whatever squiggle doodle.
Please, yeah. Please
you don't need that. Like, you're not good. It's okay. You're a fetus. Like, you right. don't.
Exactly. Like, that'd be, like, when I first got my point shoes. Like, mm-hmm. do you think I went out and bought $100 point shoes? Absolutely not.
No.
I bought some cheap ones because I was like, first of all, I gotta make sure.
I don't even know if I like this yet.
Do this. Yeah.
Right.
Now I buy more expensive ones.
Sure.
But
or like me with wigs. When I first started wearing wigs for cosplay, they were all hateful
listen.
And cheap because yep. I didn't know if I wanted to be here. I didn't know yep. if I wanted to do this.
Yeah, that's a great example because my first YouTube channel, I used to do wig reviews and mm-hmm. I started with, like, cheap wigs.
You start with those hateful
and then
cheap
yes.
wigs.
And then eventually I was making my own wigs from yeah. human hair. And you know what I mean? Like, you have to start
yeah.
somewhere.
You have to start.
So.
Just don't preload thinking that it's going to, like, make your stuff better. Because that's the big
right.
thing that I see a lot is, like, oh, if I buy the best, everything, my art's going to look better.
Right.
No, you're still
no.
going to be shitty just with expensive clothes.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
I'm a bad
and
person.
And you're going to be mad because you've spent
and
your
And then you're
going to
be mad because your art still looks like shit. Even
and now
like
you're
you
poor.
Have Procreate and you have an iPad and you have all these Coptic markers and you have, like, all this expensive,
yep.
like, you have, like, the gauche paints. And then you're just going to be mad because your art still looks like shit.
Yep.
Because you're still a shitty artist.
You have to practice.
You have to practice.
It takes time.
Like, just because I have a Yeti microphone does not mean I'm a good podcaster.
Absolutely. Listen.
I'm not a good podcaster.
You're literally listening to us right now.
Right. Like just because you have the equipment does not make you good.
Right.
It's not. It is not going. Lipstick does not improve the look of a pig.
Well.
Are you fucking pigs?
No, but I was just thinking about on Animal Crossing, I have a pig
oh.
villager and she's so cute.
I love that I was immediately concerned that you were, like, doing something gross with animals.
Yeah, that's concerning.
You have spent a lot of time that we have recorded discussing wolves.
Yeah, but Lagoshi, not freaking actual wolves. And I've never mentioned pigs.
That's why I was concerned.
I have standards. That's...
Do you? Do you have standards? Standard, who is she? Does she go
not
here?
Too much.
Oh, that was a fun conversation about fanworks and doujins. Bless
oh,
you.
Excuse me. Thank you.
I barely coughed. Yay.
I
get to do a breathing treatment after this.
Oh, yeah. And you did talk, like, we've talked a lot for, like, what, 3 hours now? So.
Yeah, it's been 3 hours.
You're going to definitely need a breathing treatment.
I made
some
tea before I recorded. I had my California Pizza Kitchen for lunch, which was
yeah.
great. I have dessert in the fridge.
Mm.
I sound like one of those, like, semi-abused White Housewives where they, like, squirrel away food. It's like, I'm going to treat myself. And it's, like, 9 o'clock at night, and they're, like, in the dark, hunched over, like, eating, like, the driest piece of cake. Did it get too real? Did it get too real?
I mean, I'm neither abused nor white. But you do that? I do be in the kitchen.
Like, it's just
10 p.m. Like, not even 10 p.m. Like, 9, like, 2 a.m. I'm like, I'm hungry.
Just feels like, you remember Gargoyles? Where they're just like, they're like scavenging for food in the night with like their claws. That's just what it always.
That's me. Like, just up in the middle of the night, like, random. I'm hungry.
It's like, I've been good today. I'm going to treat myself. And then you become some kind of like bat creature. And it's like 10 p.m. and you're just like gnawing on like the saddest piece of like Walmart sheet cake. It's like just the saddest. Just the saddest, so dried out piece of Walmart sheet cake.
Like, I've been sitting out on the counter. It's
been sitting, it hasn't even covered. Like, the cover is like half in the frosting. It's just the saddest, dry end corner. It's like,
I've never been that bad.
Good.
I mean, I grew up with a baker as a mother. That's it, so you? I could never do that to myself.
Okay, I'm glad.
Dry ass cake.
I'm glad because I've seen some MLM women who do that,
and I'm just like, girl, if you don't get some actual delicious cake,
at least put that shit in the microwave so it softens a little.
Yeah. Oof. How did we get here?
I don't know. It's been. I feel like it's like all those stories of people who like get abducted by aliens or just like. They get zooped up, and then, like, 2 hours later, they have, like, no clothes, and they're in the woods. Like,
what happened?
Like, what happened? Where am I? Mean,
real talk, like, after we're done recording, I never remember what I've said until I go back to edit.
You could not. Same. Because, like, someone called me narcissistic for, like, going over my old panels and, like, my old.
No, you have to see what you said.
Because I don't know what I've said. I genuinely black out. As soon as Asia hits end and I hit leave studio, because we're probably still gonna talk for like 30 more minutes afterwards,
it's done.
I'm gonna be sitting on my nebulizer playing Pokemon like, what the fuck was I doing for 3 hours?
I'm gonna go eat, and then like I won't think about it until it's time for me to start
right
editing.
Until you have to edit. Which is why like I get all these text messages. Jeez. Like, I can't believe we fucking said that.
I'm just like, I have to cut this out.
I have to cut this out. Like, we talked about dicks for a really long time, like, and not even like on topic dick, like just like just random dick.
Just random dick. Like, what is wrong with us? Like, what?
So where can our listeners find us?
So you can find
us as a unit.
Us as a unit. Did you just accept it?
I'm high on cough medicine.
Well, I will take that.
I'm kidding.
You can find us as a unit. Obviously here.
What is here, Aisha? You have to say it.
If you're watching this. It's our YouTube channel, Yowie Shelf. I think I changed it to the Yowie Shelf finally.
Nothing matters. It's an article.
Yes. So, the Yowie Shelf. And then you can also find us on Anchor.
Yes.
And then you can also find us on Twitter.
Yes.
The Yowie Shelf.
Yes.
Do we have any other? No, those three.
Do we need Instagram?
No, we really don't. We really don't.
We don't need Instagram.
Sometimes I get tempted, and I'm just like, bitch,
what would we
share?
What would we put on Instagram?
I don't even know what we do. I don't know what we would put on Instagram,
really, what would
honestly.
We do? Anchor is our main hub, but literally wherever podcasts are streamed, you can find us.
Yes.
Including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.
Yes. Also, please, before we finish, please leave us reviews.
Yeah, reviews are monumentally helpful to us, so long as they're constructive.
I mean, I guess, you know what, honestly, if you want to tell us that you hate us, that's fine too.
Because we will read it out loud and we will drag you in a live stream.
We'll just laugh.
You can find me separately at Aichiyume on Twitter and at Amanda Actually on WordPress if you like long-winded blog posts about stuff. You can support the podcast on Anchor monetarily. You don't have to. We're going to keep saying this until the crows come home. The cows come home. The crows are already home. Where are the crows? I'm tired.
It's okay.
So, you can support us monetarily. Again, you do not have to. We will continue to do this. Also, you can buy merch. That is a way that neither of us feel like shameless whores if you give us money.
Because you get something out of it.
Like, that's, I think that's honestly one of the best ways that I think we like being supported. Because mm-hmm. I know I feel like a bit like a shameless whore when it's just like, here's money.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks.
And the merch, it's fun to see people
in it's merch. So.
I love it.
I love it. Because.
Dylan recently shared.
Shout out to Dylan.
Yeah. Just supporting. Yes.
Thank you for supporting us. And just egotistical moment. I love seeing my art in the wild.
Yeah.
So those are some ways that you can support us. Also, just not being a dick is nice. It costs $0 to retweet. So just, you know, engage. If you see us on a live stream, come by. Hang out. We're definitely not talking about Yaoi.
We try.
No, we don't. Don't lie to our listeners. Oh. Don't lie to them. What are we covering next week? Or next week? Next month? Do you want to end the year by talking about misogyny and why we still hate on Fujoshis?
I was just looking at that one. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to round out the year and this season by talking about why do we still hate on Fujos? Because for whatever reason, we are still the lowest part of most fan totem poles, despite consistently doing the fucking most.
And that's on period.
I mean, like, that's not even a lie. Like, that's just, like, Fujos do the most all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for better or worse. But we will discuss that in what will be our season finale. And I think that's a great season closer. But that was fun. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Fun. Yeah. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we do. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
And.